Tonight, beginning with 1 Samuel chapter 3. Remember that the book of Samuel is named after this last judge and prophet. His name is Samuel. He is the last judge of the judges era. And yet from him, from his ministry, will come the beginning of the kings, as he will be influential in the lives of Saul and David, the first two kings of Israel. And as we told you last week, the book of Samuel is divided up into sections that deal with the lives of three men. Samuel, chapters 1 to 7, Saul, chapters 8 to 15, and David, chapters 16 through 31. As we studied last week about Samuel, about his beginnings, 1 Samuel, chapter 1, told us, first of all, the basic introductory information about Elkanah. And he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And Peninnah gave birth to children, but Hannah had no children. And as we studied last week, this was all the doing of the Lord. He closed up her womb so that she would not bear children. Anyway, once a year, Elkanah, his two wives, and Peninnah's children went up to offer sacrifice to the Lord. And Hannah was teased by Peninnah because she had no children. And one year it brought her to her knees. So we saw the blessing, verses 8 to 18, the blessing upon Hannah as she came to the Lord and dedicated. If the Lord were to give her a son, that she was going to dedicate him to the Lord. Now, as I shared with you last week, many people use those pieces of Scripture to show that of course, prayer is very important. She was a prayerful person. But also, out of her prayer, is she committed the child to the Lord. But as many people don't realize, as we read further into the book, is that by committing him to the Lord, she literally, after weaning him, took him to the temple and left him there. Didn't just dedicate him inside of her house, but left Samuel at the temple area. Of course, verses 19 to the end of the chapter was the birth of Samuel, and how that Hannah waited until he was weaned and then brought him to Eli the priest, where he was to learn and to serve the Lord in the temple area. Chapter 2 of last week was the chapter on ministry. First of all, the ministry of Hannah, as in her song of praise to God, she actually summarized in those first 11 verses of chapter 2 how the Lord takes somebody out of chaos and devastation and brings life. And how the Lord takes people who seemingly are on top and have it good, brings them down low. And that's the basic principle that we see in Scripture, is that why would the Lord close up Hannah's womb? Why would He make her go through all that trouble and distress? It was to bring her to that point of prayer where she came before the Lord in her distress and committed anything that the Lord would give to her to the Lord. Wasn't for herself. She wasn't thinking of herself, other than she just wanted to participate. Lord, through me, bring forth a son. And so her song relates that the Lord brings down the proud but lifts up the lowly. And it was out of a series of devastations and hardships over a period of years that the Lord brought about His will. But then beginning at verse 12 to the end of the chapter, in chapter 2, it was the ministry of Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were corrupt. And we will see tonight, Lord willing, as we get further into Samuel, that the judgment was predicted upon these two boys and upon Eli's household, that his household would no longer serve in the priesthood. It's because of the corruption of these two sons. As we'll see later on, that the Lord will speak through Samuel, a prophecy of judgment to Eli, that because his sons did evil and he did not restrain them, That is why the judgment is to come, which is very interesting. I'm continually fascinated the more I learn about who we are and how we function. Interesting, as we see the interaction tonight between Samuel and Eli the priest, what a godly man Eli was. How he ministered to the people in the temple. And yet he had this one blind area in his life, and that's with his own sons. He refused to restrain them from doing evil. And it wasn't a matter of him doing the best he could and them turning evil. He knew they were doing evil, but he didn't do anything about it. And he was in a position to do something about it, but he didn't do it. But tonight in chapter 3, we have the first 9 verses of chapter 3 is the call of Samuel to the ministry. He's a young boy, could be as young as 3 years old when she brought him to the temple area. She'd bring him a little robe every year to wear, a brand new robe, and he would just follow Eli around the temple area, learning how to function as priest. But now he's a young man, and he's, chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." This chapter is going to be divided up into 3 sections, but one of the great teachings, in fact, the great teaching in this chapter is the principles on responding to God's Word. The principles of responding to God's Word. And we're going to see an interaction between Samuel and Eli that is such a tremendous ministry in the approach to God's Word. The first thing we're told is that the Word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And we will see it is not because God did not want to communicate to them. It's because there wasn't anyone who had a heart to receive what God had to say and to speak the truth. Now that's very important to see in the Bible. The Lord speaks to people's hearts, but they're not willing to turn around and give it exactly the way God says it. We kind of water it down and change it around a little bit because we're afraid of how people are going to react. Now that doesn't mean that we should just go in and say things because we don't care about people. But whatever God's Word says, that's what God's Word says. And if it seems hard, it's because God said it hard. You know, you can't soften it up. And I know some translations try to. They try to smooth it out so it doesn't say what it says. But the word of the Lord was rare. Very rarely could he find receptive hearts who would receive God's word for what it says and respond to God's word for what it says and speak God's word for what it says. So God just didn't. He will not speak to someone's heart in this way unless their heart is responsive. So it was rare. It was rare to find somebody in the days of Samuel. And that's just how bad. This is back in the period of Judges, and we're about at Judges chapters 12 and 13 for tonight. So I know chapter 4 of 1 Samuel is right at chapter 13, verse 1 of Judges. This is during the period of the Judges that young Samuel is growing up. And he will eventually get old enough to be the point where he's the last judge in Israel. But the word of God was rare. And it wasn't that God wasn't speaking or wasn't there. It's just that the hearts were so cold against him that he wasn't speaking to people's hearts. I think something came to me today. Not that it's new, but it's just like it's different in a different way. After a few conversations I've had with people today, There was one thing that I probably should have said, and yet it's interesting because I asked it of myself later in the afternoon, and maybe we ought to be asking one another this whenever we talk about things. But the Lord laid upon my heart this question: what is the Lord telling you about it? Interesting how we share with each other our feelings, our opinions, or here's what I think you ought to do. But do we ever ask each other, what is the Lord telling you? You see, when 1 Samuel chapter 3 is talking about the Word of God, it's not talking about a Bible was rare. You know? Like they're overpriced in the bookstore and people can't afford them. No, that's not what it's saying. By the Word of God, The total definition in the scriptures for the Word of God is not just words on the page that we know as the Bible. It is the Spirit of God and the words. Because even the cults use the same Bibles we do. And just because they use the same Bible, it doesn't mean it's the Word of God. So, when God's Spirit speaks to someone's heart, that is the Word of God. What we're missing in our day is learning how to listen, and I don't mean this in a mystical way. Don't take me wrong, because you know me. I'm not that mystical of a person, religious of a person. But we need to listen to God speaking to our hearts. What is He saying? He speaks through His Word. He speaks through other people. He confirms it. I mean, we were talking about this last week when J.D. came through, you know. Somebody completely out of town and completely away from everything that's happening here, and God brings a truck driver in to show race cars, and he's like-minded, just fits right in, just had the right things to say and the right things to share to fit in right in with what is happening here. It's like God sending someone to say, hey, you know, like this can't be an accident that he was sent. He'd be like-minded, and he'd be saying things that would minister to things that we're going through here. So God speaks through people. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through His Word. I'm amazed at, with all the studies that we have going on through the week, how at least one of those studies fits in with what we're going through that week. Not planned, it's just the way it is. Sometimes we'll go through it the week or two after we hear it. Like God had to give us the Word prior to. Sometimes it's the very week, it's the very thing that we're going through. Sometimes we've already gone through it and we get the Word last. You know, it's amazing. It's not planned. And sometimes these chapters overlap in different studies. We're talking about the same subject. It's not planned. God is speaking to our hearts. You know, Bible studies are Bible studies. The question is, is the Lord speaking to your heart? That's the question. What is He saying? Now that's what this text is talking about in 1 Samuel chapter 3. It's not that the scriptures were rare or hard to find. It wasn't that the scriptures were not being read, and it wasn't that they weren't religious, because when we get into chapter 4, they've got the Ark of the Covenant and they're holding religious ceremonies all the time. It's just God finding a person's heart that He could speak to was rare. And somebody to listen. Eli could hear God. Very few other people in the entire country. Very few other people could hear the voice of God speak to their heart, because they were so corrupt, so gone. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. See, that's God speaking to people's hearts. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. Interesting. He's in his mid to late 90s. His eyes are going bad. Yet it is interesting, his spiritual perception is still there. And this is another amazing thing, bringing it up again, what we just said a few minutes earlier. Very perceptive man. He could hear the voice of God, but he wouldn't do anything about his sons. Just something there, a little soft spot, where he just refused to do anything about it. And his sons wound up to be corrupt. And judgment fell upon his house. His sons were killed. So his physical condition in verse 2 is that his eyesight was growing dim. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli said, "I did not call. Go lay down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And you see what the word of the Lord is God speaking to his heart. It wasn't that he hadn't studied the scriptures. I mean, they got scriptures all the way through this temple area. It wasn't that he didn't know how Eli ministered before the Lord, because he went with Eli everywhere he went. He knew that. He didn't know how to hear the Lord. So when God called at his heart, he thought it was Eli calling. He kept going in saying, "Well, here I am." He goes, "I didn't call you. Go lay down." And Samuel didn't know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. He knew that he wasn't hearing things now. After the third time, he realized that it was the Lord speaking to Samuel's heart. He perceived it. You see, physical eyesight was dim, but his spiritual eyesight still very keen. He had a lot of spiritual perception. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. I want to point out two things to you. First of all, the importance of hearing the voice of God. And I don't mean in a mystical way or listening to one's emotions, but it's very important, if necessary, to get alone in the quietness of all things and just listen to what God's saying in that still small voice, because circumstances are screaming. People are screaming. The noise of the city is all around, you know. Sometimes we just need to get alone and say, "Lord, what are you trying to say?" It's not what people think. It's not what people's opinions are. It's not what the preacher says. It's not what brother or sister so-and-so says. It's what God says to my heart that I must respond to. And there's two things I want to point out to you here. First of all, Eli taught Samuel how to respond to the voice of the Lord. First of all of a sudden Samuel's opened up to this whole concept that God actually speaks to people. And that's true. In fact, remember, I was in the service in the Navy. And my conversion in the Lord was so dramatic that they sent me downtown to the military psychiatrist. I was so changed in everything, I mean radically. And I walked into this room, and this room was huge, bigger than the room that we're in. And there was one desk right in the middle of the room with a big chair. Nobody there. So I went in, they pushed this little chair up in front of the big desk, and I sat down, and the psychiatrist comes into the room, sits down, introduces himself, and says, "Well, I hear that God's been speaking to you." You know, really, the approach was that, you know, there's something wrong with me. And I said, "Well, yeah, you know." "Well, how does he speak to you?" I said, "Well, not audibly. I don't hear voices, but he speaks to my heart." So he went into that whole thing. He had no concept of what I was talking about. But he says, "Do we hear voices?" And he was really making it out to be a big deal. I said, "No, God speaks to your heart. You see, when you receive Christ..." Now, I went into the whole salvation thing. You know, I never wasted time with people. I told everybody, any way that they would direct a question to me, I'd always take the opportunity to share Christ with them. He was very uncomfortable with all this. I told him that I have the living Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ, living inside of me. And he lays things on my heart and has interaction with my mind. And we do, and he's going, "Oh, okay, well." But it's true. This is not a religion. If I have the living Christ in my heart and he wants to have fellowship with me, then he is communicating to me. Am I listening? See? And if I'm not listening inside, either I've closed him off or I just can't tell his voice, however you want to say his voice is, then he works from the outside. He'll stop us from the outside through circumstances to try to You ever notice that, how God stops us? And what's your first reaction when you come in a situation where you go, oh no, this is just too much? You know where you turn? In here. It's like, hello. You know? It's God saying, yeah, I'm in here. Like He's trying to get our attention. It's not out there, it's in here. What are you looking out here for? That message at the tomb of Jesus. Remember when the angel was sitting on top of the stone and the angel said, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? That message just always struck me. Why are we looking for life amongst dead things? Why are we going to the spiritual cemetery of the world to try to experience life? There's no life there. It's like God out here saying, it's not out here, it's in here. I finally got your attention. You're finally turning inward to where I am. Sometimes we turn inward to ourselves, but it's close. You know, at least we're turning in. But at least God has our attention. It's like He's inside going, I'm in here. I want your attention in here, not out there. See? But stop and think about it. The living Christ lives inside of me and He wants to speak to me. He's the creator of the world. It's not going to be some weird stuff. He's going to speak to my heart. People don't make us do things. God speaks to our hearts. But what is interesting here is that Eli, first of all, Eli taught Samuel how to respond to the voice of the Lord. So the first principle is that God does speak to His people. Secondly, there is a response to hear what God has to say. Look what the response is. He said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. That's very important in our approach to the Lord. And I'm, you know, in going over these texts, the Lord convicts me tremendously because I lose sight of these truths. A lot of times we seek the Lord and we're not really wanting to listen as a servant. Because what He has to tell us, we don't always want to do. You ever notice that a lot of the Lord's answers are not exactly what we want to hear? You know, sometimes I'll come before the Lord with my attitude. I'm going, yeah, okay, I see that, but is this a multiple choice? You know, A, B, C, D, or E? How about none of the above? Can we go to the next choice, you know? No, God has one thing in mind. But what God wants out of me is I seek Him. And this is why the word of the Lord was rare in His day, is because there were not many people that had a heart to come to the Lord and say, Lord, speak for your servant listens. The Lord speaks to servants, not to people who are demanding, not to people who are looking for God to do things a certain way. Not for people who are rebellious and bitter. He's looking for people's hearts to say, Lord, I want to hear your word. But I want to hear your word as a servant. But secondly, notice in this text, this particular verse, is that Eli taught him how to hear. Sometimes it takes other people to direct us to the Lord. That's what we ought to be doing with each other. We ought to be encouraging one another to turn to the Lord and listen to what God is saying. What does the Lord say about it? What does He say in His Word, and what is He saying by His Spirit to your heart? How does this apply to you? And we might come across many people in our walk with the Lord over the years that play the role of Eli, that will turn us back to the Lord and encourage us to go, why don't you go and talk to the Lord about it? And by the way, when you go seek Him, ask Him to speak to you as His servant. That's the only way He's going to speak to you, or else you won't hear from Him. He only speaks to servants, people who are looking for Him to speak and are looking for His word. So Samuel went and lay down in his place at the end of verse 9. Verse 10. So verses 1 through 9 is the call to the ministry of Samuel. As he learned the first principle that God speaks to people's hearts. And secondly, how to hear what he has to say is to approach him with a heart of, Lord, your servant hears. You remember Paul after his conversion? Paul says, Lord, what would you have me to do? It was always the approach of servanthood, and that's when God speaks to people's hearts. Lord, what would you have me to do? Another one says, Lord, here I am. Use me. It's the servant's heart, because when God gives his word, that is it. The only way I can respond is to come to him with a servant's heart, or else there'll be no response. Remember the children of Israel in the wilderness? They heard God's word, but they said, oh yeah? We don't like that. Okay, see the mountain over there? You can go around for 40 years and die there. You can't go any further until you respond to his word. See? Now in verses 10 through 18, first we have the call to the ministry, now we have the call to the message. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile or corrupt, and he did not restrain them. You remember they abhorred the offering of the Lord? They took the meat for themselves that was supposed to be offered to the Lord. They were committing sexual immorality with the women who were waiting outside the temple area. And God says that's it. At the end of chapter 2, there was a prophecy of judgment against Eli's house, that he would be cut off. Now what is interesting, here is the word of the Lord telling Samuel that judgment has come to Eli's house. But notice at the end of verse 13, because his sons made themselves corrupt, and he did not restrain them. See, it wasn't because they just sinned. If they had just sinned, it would have been just them that received the judgment. The problem is that Eli did not restrain his own sons. Therefore, his entire household, his entire priesthood, the entire descendancy that would serve in the priesthood would be cut off. Great perceptive man. He's a great man of God. To serve the Lord all these years, and you remember this is the period of the judges, hard to do. He was one of only a couple of people over the entire countryside that was able to hear the voice of God. Everybody else was so corrupt. And yet at the same time, because of this one thing, God brought judgment. I'm reminded of the messages of Christ to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. He told them of all the things that they were doing right in his sight. But it was the one thing that they weren't doing right that he warned them to repent of, or else the effectiveness and the light of Christ would be removed from that church. That's all it takes is one. In 1 Corinthians 5, that's what we've been learning. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Just because it starts small, or just because it's a little thing, it still must be dealt with. With Eli, faithful to the Lord for 98 years, and yet because he did not restrain his sons from doing evil, judgment was to come. Verse 14, and therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Nothing could be offered in sacrifice to atone for these sins. It was in cement. The judgment was in cement. There's nothing they could do about it. It had gone too far. So Samuel lay down until morning. Now, can you imagine, as a little boy, and you've been growing up following Eli around. And Eli's a godly man. You already know about Hophni and Phinehas because you see them around the temple and you're thinking to yourself, boy, they're corrupt. And I'm sure Eli said something to Samuel like, don't do what my sons do. They're corrupt. And you love this man, Eli. He's like your spiritual father. You're with him day and night. You respect him because he's the high priest of God and he's teaching you all the things about God. He has taught you how to hear the voice of God. That's a very special man. Then all of a sudden, when the Lord speaks to your heart and you say, Lord, speak for your servant hears, the first message that God gives you to be a faithful servant to give is that judgment is coming on Eli's household. Well, what a heartbreak that is. You're stunned. You're in shock. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. He's afraid. Gosh, I can't tell Eli that. That's terrible. That's terrible news. You know, I can't tell him that. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered, here I am. And he said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. Now, it is interesting as we're studying the very principles of responding to God's word. God does speak to us. The only way that we can hear what he's saying to us is we approach him with a servant's heart. Sometimes other people God will use either through the scriptures or through personal contact or whatever the case. It could be a letter. It could be anything. That God is going to use other people to help us hear the voice of the Lord. But notice Eli himself now. Eli is saying, tell me what God has said. What did God tell you? And Samuel's just basically saying, yeah, you don't want to know. I mean, he knows what God's word says. You know, God will satisfy it. God will take care of it, but I'm sure not going to be the one to tell him. And Eli, it is interesting, this tells you what a good heart Eli had for the Lord. He knew something was wrong. Tell me everything that God said. I want to know the truth. What did God tell you? Tell me everything. And whatever this thing is that you're keeping from me, may God do so to you if you don't tell me. Here's a man that wanted to hear from God. He's been the priest all these years, and now he recognizes that God is now speaking through Samuel. You see, he's starting to recognize that Samuel is God's minister and prophet. So he says, tell me everything. Don't hide anything from me. Now there's a heart for the Lord. You know, don't take it easy on me. What did God tell you? Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Can you imagine the brokenness in Samuel to have to tell Eli what God's word said? And he says, this is Eli speaking, your final principle on response to God's word. We've seen that God speaks. Our approach and our heart response must be as a servant. Sometimes it'll come through others. But we need to know and we want to know the truth. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Whatever the truth, don't spare me. Don't matter. Don't bother with how I'm going to respond. I want to know what God's word is. What does God's word say about this thing? There's a heart for the Lord. But notice this response. It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Now, the word of the Lord was, remember from chapter 2, that you would know that this is the prophecy of the Lord, is that Hophni and Phinehas would both die in the same day. That Eli's household would be cut off. Now, how would you take that, see? The final principle of responding to God's word is recognizing that it is the word of God. and submitting to it. Let God do whatever He wants to do. Rather than argue with God or say, oh, you know, I don't want that to happen, or let God do what seems good to Him. Even if it means I have to suffer some. And finishing up verses 19 to 21. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And what that means is that everything that Samuel said when he said, "This is the Lord," not one word failed. It didn't fall to the ground. It's an expression that means just words, and it falls to the ground and dies off and gets trampled under and buried, and that's it. Every word that Samuel spoke happened. Every word. We know from Deuteronomy 18 that that's the mark of a prophet of God. Is when he represents God and says, this is God's word, then that's the way it is. It never fails. Because if it's God's word, that's the way it is. The Lord showed himself to be with Samuel in that every word that he spoke did not fall to the ground. It was fulfilled and happened. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, equivalent to saying from Los Angeles to New York, covered all the boundaries, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. Samuel is now functioning as a prophet. And by the way, that's what the word prophet means. The word prophetes in Greek literally means to be a spokesman. We know that there are many members in the body of Christ. A prophet is somebody who is the mouth. And it's a complimentary term in the Bible. You know. Is that God uses that person to speak through. They are a mouthpiece. And every word that is the word of God happens. Just the way it is, because it's God's word. And the reputation, his reputation spread that he was a prophet of God until all of Israel was listening to Samuel, and they knew that he was a prophet of God. Okay, let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, how important your word is. Just as the writers of Scripture received your word, we gather around your word and look to your Spirit to speak to our hearts. We know that's the key to a personal relationship with you. We can follow people around like Samuel did to Eli, depending on Eli to hear from the Lord. But there'll come a day when we need to hear from the Lord. When we need to come to that point and be convinced in our own heart, it is the Lord. Not because somebody else tells us, but because God has spoken to our hearts. So that we can base all that we do on the Word of God. Now somebody else might point it out to us, but Lord, just help us to stand upon all that you speak to us, all that is your Word. Help us to know that you want to speak to each one of your people, personally, individually. Help us to seek you and to seek the voice of the Lord speaking to our hearts. Help us to seek you, to get that time alone, or to listen to you in the noise of the day as you're speaking to our hearts. But help us to come with a servant's heart, looking for your will. No matter what it is, it doesn't matter. Whether it's going to be harmful or whether we think it's going to be good, we need to know the truth from your word so that we can do it. All Eli wanted to do was hear the truth so that he could do it. So that we too can say, it is the Lord. Let the Lord do what is good, seems good to Him. Help us to have that submissive heart, that listening heart, to be submissive to Your will and to Your word, that we might walk humbly before You, that You might carry out Your purposes and Your will for each of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.